Well, slava Jesus Christu. Glory be to Jesus Christ and glory be to our Creator. We open our meeting on beautiful Treaty 6 territory in the homeland of the Métis. And I welcome you all to this meeting, whether you are virtual or whether you are in person. I hope you had a beautiful weekend, the third Sunday of Advent, and 10 more days until the miracle happens. And I hope you are all settling yourselves in a good way to bring yourself to that wonderful journey, or through that wonderful journey that we're experiencing at this point. So I'll call this meeting to order, and I'll ask Trustee Biblo to lead us in an opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as people invested in Catholic education. We thank you for all the parties who are invested in Catholic education. And we ask for your continued guidance as we navigate the waters of this day. And we entrust ourselves and our roles to you as we place ourselves under the protection of our Blessed Mother Mary, to whom we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Paul,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Trustee Biblo. Trustees, you received your package earlier on, and you had the opportunity to look through the agenda. I'll require a motion for that. Thank you, Trustee Stuse, a seconder for that motion. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. All those in favor? That motion is carried. I'll now call upon any declaration of conflict of interest. Trustees, if you feel there is something that you need to recuse yourself from the conversation or the vote, I'll ask for you to declare. Hearing none, thank you. Trustees, you had the opportunity to see the minutes of the November 23rd and the November 30th organizational meeting and regular meeting of the board. So I will call upon someone to approve the minutes of the November 23rd, 2020 organizational meeting of the board if they saw no errors or omissions. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll need someone to second that motion. Thank you, Trustee Elliott. All those, I will call for the motion to the negative of the motion. Hearing none, that motion is carried. Trustees, you read through the minutes of the November 30th, 2020 regular meeting of the Board of Education. If there are no errors or omissions, I'll call for someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Carrier. Someone to second that. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll call for the negative motion. That motion is carried. We have no delegations or special presentations or post-meeting assignments, as well as no consent items. We'll proceed right to 6.0, the discussion. 6.1 is our financial statements, and we will ask CFO Lloyd to lead us in that conversation.
Thank you, Chair Boyko. If I may, I might refer to you just to the end of the report, the variance analysis schedule. So this financial statement is from September 1st until the end of October. Overall, we are tracking to be within budget based on ministry funding announcements from last week. A number of items have been impacted due to the pandemic around revenues for tuition and related fees, as well as school drain funds for cafeteria sales and school rentals. But we did receive approval for $3.88 million of the $6.24 million that we applied for through the second pandemic application process. And the ministry also announced that school divisions will retain all budgeted funds this year and will not see any sort of clawback based on actual enrollment. So both announcements ensure we can continue providing the same level of support to our schools, and in some instances actually provide a higher level of support. So that was great news that we got this week regarding those two funding streams, so that additional costs that we're seeing and lost revenue will be offset by those approvals. So on the revenue side, again, we're tracking to be within budget with those items. Property taxation, we are projecting to be within budget. We collect that unevenly throughout the year. So from time to time, we'll see amounts that will be more or less than what we are predicting to see, but overall, plan to be within budget. Around grants, projecting to be within budget there as well, as we're able to keep those budgeted funds. Tuition-related fees, we are anticipating being under budget of this amount by about $1 million this year, as we're not seeing many international students coming to our schools, understandably, due to the pandemic. School drain funds are all those funds that are collected at the school level. So it could be anywhere from cafeteria sales to fundraisers to field trips. And of course, we're seeing a dramatic decrease in all those items. So we won't be reaching budget there. But whenever we budget for these funds, there's always an offsetting expense. So if we fundraise for a charter or a field trip, then there's an offsetting expense. So both the revenue and the expense will be under budget and will be offset and won't have a net impact on our reserves. Complementary services is within our kindergarten, our pre-K program, and we are anticipating to be within budget from our revenue side. External services is a grant that we receive each year for our shared services initiative. And that's the agreement that we work and support Saskatoon Tribal Council. We just haven't received that grant yet, and we're still budgeting the expenses for that. So once that grant comes in, then that will be within the budget parameters. And then other revenue is an area that we also are seeing a dramatic decrease in, and that'll be around school rentals, as we're not going to have any school rentals likely this entire year. They've been canceled up to the end of April, and then we'll reassess. But unless there's a dramatic difference in the pandemic, likely won't see any rentals outside of the elections in that category. From an expense side, everything's tracking to be within budget for the most part. Are anticipating some additional costs in instruction to support student learning, remote learning, PPE, those types of things. Under plant, again, plan to be over budget slightly, but that overage will be funded through pandemic dollars, and that overage would be attributed to additional caretaking staff, chemical supplies, those types of items. Transportation, we are projecting to be within budget. We are incurring additional sanitation costs because we are paying drivers to sanitize buses in between routes. And then there's also the chemical required to do that. But we're also able to actually reduce some routes and combine routes because we are seeing about 30% less students on our buses right now. So we did a review of all our bus routes and we were able to save a few. But there is a net kind of difference there with additional clean costs. So we'll be close or slightly over budget by maybe $100,000 based on how the year progresses. Like I mentioned earlier, school generated funds, we are projecting to be under budget from expenditure side, but we're also under budget on the revenue side, so that will offset each other. And lastly, I'll just comment on is complementary services, our pre-K programs. We've reallocated staff that we normally budget there to support some of our K programs. So that expense will show up in instruction instead of complementary services. So overall, we will be within budget, but there's just a shift there for 1 year to support the pandemic efforts. So overall, again, with those additional revenue sources and then a third pandemic application in March, we fully anticipate to be within budget for this fiscal year. That concludes my report. If there's any questions.
Thank you, Joel. Trustees, any comments or questions? Seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the accounts paid for the period September 1st, 2020 to September 30th, 2020 and October 1st, 2020 to October 31st, 2020 and receive the financial statements for the period ended October 31st, 2020. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. Someone to second that motion? Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing none, that motion is carried. Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Let's proceed now, trustees, to 6.2, the pandemic response update. Director Shatlin and Exec Council.
Thank you very much, Chair Boyko. Embedded in the report or the package today is a brief update on pandemic activities, responses in the division since the last meeting of November 30th. A few points I just wanted to raise for the attention of the board today. As we know, we're into a period of time of increased transmission and cases within our community, and we certainly have seen that in some of our schools. In the meantime, we have since moved to level three in our high schools that are 600 and above. So level three, if you'll recall, is half-time attendance. So our larger high schools have been engaged in that for some time now and are doing their best to support student learning through that different approach to things. As you as well are aware, the SHA has changed how they are isolating and doing contact tracing. As you will recall now, a positive case in a class, and the whole class is isolated then for close to 2 weeks. That is a very significant response, but of course they're trying to mitigate against transmission. So for high schools, that means that now that because we have a half cohort there, it's just half the students that are being isolated as a result of a positive case. And that is a significant difference then for students and families. We have had over half of our cases, our high school cases. So of the roughly 86 cases till early last week, about 46 of those would have been in high school, and just under 40 of them would have been in elementary. So the proportion there is again majority high school, and again, seeing as there's only about 5,500 students in high school, again compared to about 13,000 students in elementary, we're seeing quite a few more cases surface in our high school population. As of the writing of the report here, about 21 of our 50 schools had not had a case yet. And so they've been continuing along with operations unimpacted until this point. Again, just a reminder that there was the change to masking provisions a little while back. And so our pre-K to 3 language has, of course, changed within the division as well. And that is, again, aligning with the provincial masking mandate. There were some changes recently to provincial guidelines for performing arts. So that would speak specifically to band, drama, those kinds of things. And so those were posted late last week. And so we're taking a look at those to see if there's any operational changes for us with respect to those offerings on our division. There has been lots of discussion regarding the upcoming Christmas break and its role with pandemic responses in our community and pandemic responses within school divisions. So we are continuing our dialogue with our local medical health officers on this seeking their feedback and input from an operations standpoint. So on our ability to run each day, other than the local situations where we've had to put a school into a level 4, which is full remote learning, as we've done in some circumstances where the case numbers were higher and we had a number of staff that needed to be away, and so we weren't able to really operate the school safely. Other than that, operations are continuing well. Our overall number of absences in the school division is not significantly different than previous years. Again, understanding we've stopped doing a lot of things like professional learning during the day, like release time for other activities, like new lunch revision and those kinds of things. So we've really taken away a lot of those types of absences in order to allow for our substitute and process to work, and that's done well. So we've been fortunate that operations have been able to continue on quite well. And so we'll continue to look at that closely each day and each week, and making sure that operationally we're able to do what we need to do and make the decisions as needed. So up to this point, it's just been a local circumstance where we've had to put level 4 into place, and we hope to be able to continue that approach. There is now dialogue about what do operations look like after Christmas. We will be normally would be returning back around I think it's January 4th. Does our local medical health officers see a need for any amendment or change or approach that would be different for post-Christmas? As we saw in some other areas of the province, there has been some decisions made at this point to move to a level 4 for a week or perhaps 2 weeks after Christmas. As they think about the impact of Christmas time and on transmission of cases and potentially expansion of that. So there's ongoing dialogue, as I said, with our medical health officer and discerning what does post-Christmas look like for our school division. And of course, working closely with Saskatoon Public and Prairie Spirit as well, as we serve many of the same communities and seek to have a similar response in support of understanding of our communities. So put a couple of steps back from it, in conversation with Dr. Shahab recently, his perspective is that we will be kind of in this mode until late March, early April, once the weather begins to break and we're able to be outside again and do activities a little differently than our typical Saskatchewan winters. At that point, you know, there might be a little bit more access to vaccine than there is in this next period of time here. So, you know, we've got another number of months ahead here, certainly January, February, March, and into April, that will be, again, busy and difficult times. But again, we've gone through this first stretch of the year here, I think about as well as we could have hoped for. And we continue to be very vigilant, though, in thinking about what January, February, March, April will look like and the operational changes that we'll need to be prepared for. But the question still remains around post-Christmas. And so I just would put that question out if there's any perspective or feedback from trustees on the post-Christmas time as we circle back with our local medical health officers this week here in discernment about what post-Christmas looks like. But any questions or comments?
Okay, thank you, Greg. Trustee Carrier?
Greg, just a brief overview on what differentiates Saskatoon community from the Regina and Prince Albert now? Like, are we better off? The numbers certainly never really indicated that. Like, what are we doing right? What's happening?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know that I have a very complete answer for you on that one. In the Regina context, from what I can gather, operationally, in particular, the public division in Regina was struggling with access to staff. And so they were operating on many days, quite a number of staff short from where they should be. And they felt, I think, that was really hampering their operations and the safety of their operations to the point where they were having a lot of challenges. I think as well to understand that the local medical health officers in those regions and those areas are in dialogue with those boards regularly, are monitoring what's happening with transmissions and cases in those local areas and providing advice to the boards in that area and what's going on. So I'm not privy to what's part of those discussions I don't know what's of happening of significance in those communities that has brought them to those decisions. But certainly, again, it's that process of local medical health officers dialoguing with the boards and coming up with recommendations and decisions for those contexts.
But so you take Prince Albert, for example, unless my information is wrong, that announcement was made on Friday to go online. And my understanding was it was even after 5 on Friday. So all the kids were at home with no supplies and running around in the weekend was crazy, apparently, because they asked if we could just postpone it for one more day to get them back to school Monday so they could gear up for Tuesday. And they said no. So what's going on? Like the feeling in Prince Albert is quite intriguing, to say the least. Is that what you're hearing here?
We've had a similar messaging as well around how that came to be in that kind of time frame. And, in the context of Regina, for example, they gave lots of notice.
Yeah.
There was almost a week or so, I think, of notice, which I think it prepares people for all, because it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. And you talk to our staff as well, and it's a huge deal to make this type of a move. And to do it in that kind of short notice and such is intriguing, as you say. I don't know. I can't adequately answer your question. I wish I could. Maybe in coming days and I can seek to find some answers to that, because I've got the same questions.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of those questions have to be asked. So post Christmas break. So if we determine that we're going to take another week or 2 weeks, because there's some that aren't going back to the 18th, that's 2 weeks. So is the thought process there that there isn't going to be enough social distancing and following the protocols during Christmas, that they're basically considering those 2 weeks almost as an isolation period afterwards? I mean, it's an intriguing thought about why this is all happening. And I understand Regina's with the staffing and everything else, but for some of the other divisions that are making this, and again, like you say, every division is autonomous and they have their own experience and their own needs within their division. But that's what I'm asking. I'm just wondering if that's what that means, is that those 2 weeks afterwards are their isolation period. So it'll be interesting to see what the directive will be on the 17th of December as well.
I guess I can say that, you know, we are in constant contact with Saskatoon Public and Prairie Spirit particularly. And, you know, their operational experiences have been similar to ours. Doing the same kind of approach. We've got local areas where you've had to close the school down for a period of time and move online, or parts of a school and such. And so both, all the boards have been doing that as necessary. But other than that, operationally, we're managing. It's hard. It's difficult. There's no two ways about it. But look at any sector of our province right now, and they're all having it. It is all hard and difficult and challenging. So we're no different. We're, as I said, managing, I think, operationally to keep things moving as best we can, and I think quite well. And we hope that will continue to be the case into the future.
Well, and I think, you know, we all know that schools throughout the province, that we are, the protocols that have been followed, there is very few cases where they actually occurred in the school. So this is about community keeping themselves safe, so that our schools can continue to run and be safe.
Yes, well said. Yes, very true.
Okay, I'm not seeing any other questions or concerns, trustees, at this point. The recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Pandemic Response Update Report. I'll require someone to move that motion, please. Thank you, Trustee Carrier. Thank you, Trustee Jelinski, for seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Hearing none, that motion is carried. And again, thank you to all of administration and passing that down to, or sorry, exec council, passing that down to administration, passing that down to our teachers and staff, the excellent job that they're doing during such trying times. All right, let's move now to 6.3, improving student learning and achievement with our graduation rates. Superintendent Gay.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I apologize that you have to see me at this time. It's the only way that my microphone is worth. Just wanted to confirm that that you can see my screen at this time.
Yes, we're good.
Sound is good as well.
Thank you so much. Today, we're going to be looking at the graduation area of focus for the school division. And before I begin, I really would like to congratulate all of you on being elected and re-elected to the board. And in particular, I want to welcome Trustees Case, Elliott, and Biblo on your election to the board. Please know that if any of you have any questions that you'd like to discuss after today's presentations, I'd be very happy to do so. In the 2019-2020 school year, it certainly was an interesting one as we consider the graduation rates for the province and for the school division. In the second semester, students were told that engaging in the learning was optional and that all students would receive the credits for the courses they were registered in. This had a minor impact on our data. I want to acknowledge the wonderful group of professionals who are part of our area focus team. As you can see, we have a number of high school principals, two coordinators, one consultant, and one superintendent who are working on this. Both the province and Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools had an identified goal of 85% for the three-year graduation rate. And the three-year graduation rate is based on students attaining their grade 12 graduation requirements of 24 credits within 3 years of beginning grade 10. GSCS has had a goal of 65% for our three-year graduation rate for our First Nations and Métis and Inuit student population, with a strong desire, of course, to have the same goal for all students long-term. At this point, the on-time graduation rate for Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools is 78.5%, which is 1.5 percentage points below the provincial average overall. At this point, we're 6% above the provincial average for our First Nations and Métis and Inuit students at 53%. And the graduation rate in Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools decreased by 1 percentage point for this particular cohort of students. At present, we're 6.5 percentage points below the goal for the 2020 overall. And the 0.5% decrease of our rate in this year is concerning to us. We know that we'll take the long view of the cohorts as they'll shift slightly, as is demonstrated by our 4 and 5 year data. Our First Nations, Métis, and Inuit on-time graduation rate has risen above 50% on time, which is hopeful, but well below our goal, and this is still concerning. We're proud of the engagement of our schools in working to be culturally responsive and relational, and of a cohort of teachers assessing their practice and improving it to respond to the FNMI students in our schools. Many of our schools are achieving at a very high rate in the area of graduation and are well beyond the goal of 85%. In particular, we need to continue to focus our efforts in our alternate programs to see our rates improve. The province doesn't have a goal for extended graduation rates. The extended graduation rate is based on students achieving graduation within 5 years of entering grade 10. As a division, we feel the statistic is a strong indicator of success. In any situations, the extended graduation statistic is a response to effective programming, and it supports for the diverse learning population. For students who require additional support, such as learning assistance, year-long courses, EAL support, and an opportunity to explore passions in the arts, music, or practical arts areas, such as our construction program at EDFN, are better served in an extended plan. The extended rate is success, and the student's graduation status remains the same and allows the same post-secondary options for them. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools had an extended graduation rate of 90% for the 2019-2020 school year. The First Nations and Métis Inuit rate for the division was 70%, and this rate for our non-FNM students was at 94%. The rate for our FNMI students for extended graduation continues to be a concern. And at this time, Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools is 5% above the provincial rate for all students, 7% above the provincial rate for our First Nations and Métis students, and 2% above for our non-First Nations and Métis Inuit students. One of the factors that isn't represented in our graduation data is that Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools presently serves close to 2,500 EAL students. Many of these students are arriving in Canada at the high school age, presenting them with significant challenges as they work to attain the English language, as well as high school credits. We're really proud of the work our staff are doing to support the diversity present in our classrooms as they adapt to meet the needs of all learners. We partnered with the Saskatoon Industry Education Council and have a grant to support some of our newcomers in developing language skills as well as life and employment skills. These students are arriving with limited language and limited time to achieve graduation. The Newcomer Youth Engagement Program is in its second year and is supporting many students, and the program runs out of EDFN for the Greater Saskatoon Catholic School site. We see ourselves trending in a positive direction. Our First Nations and Métis Inuit extended rate continues to be a concern and will require targeted support. Our area focus team is working with our FNM area focus team to develop both interventions and enhancements for our students to better align our results for all students in our division. This slide simply summarizes the overall graduation rates for Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools and the province. It's notable that in our on-time and extended rates for our First Nations and Métis and Inuit students, we see our largest numbers of self-declared students represented that we've had in the last 5 years. And we'll monitor these results closely, as we know that in second semester of last year, 100% of our students attained their credits due to COVID-19. So we do have to take a little bit of a careful look at the information that's before us. The chart you see before you shows the credits attempted and the credits attained for the last school year. It's very encouraging, as it shows that 97.2% of the students in our schools were successful in attaining credits in their classes. A very promising statistic with our FNM students is that the credit attainment was at 93.1%. The credit completion data is slightly higher than is typical due to the granting of all second semester credits by the provincial government. But I do want to be clear that our results are not that much lower in a typical year. We're seeing very good response from our students of those who are in our care at that time. It is a really positive statistic that comes from our graduation tracking app that's been developed in-house here. And it really demonstrates that the students in our school are receiving that positive support, and teachers are using the adaptive dimension more fully than ever before. Another area that we might not have recognized in the past is the use of credit recovery. So a student who maybe would have just failed a class, but maybe they had trouble with two or three of the outcomes. Now more and more teachers and students are accessing this avenue so that they have 30 days to work on those outcomes, demonstrate their learning, and then achieve the credit and not have to retake the entire course. It's really a tool that's being accessed far more than it ever had in the past. We're proud of the engagement of our schools and working to be culturally responsive and relational, and look forward to continued growth for our students. We presently have three schools in the Following Their Voices program, and a partner with Saskatoon Tribal Council and Saskatoon Public Schools on the Pathways to Education program, and are hopeful for positive impact. Many of our students in grade 8, 9, 10, and 11 are participating at this time, but of course in this 2020 year, it's been a challenge for students to access the tutoring provided. In the past, students would attend after school for targeted tutoring for our First Nations students, and it was a really wonderful relationship that has been developing, and they are doing their best to access that support virtually. But of course, it's been a challenge, as in our all operations in our time at this particular moment. We've also continued to develop the Miumit Siwan program at EDP and Catholic High School with a focus on academics, wellness, training, and culture, with a cohort of grade 9 and 10 and 11 FNMI students. And we continue our Cree bilingual program at St. Francis, as well as a cohort of Cree bilingual students at EDFM this year. We have a goal of greater engagement and a recognition of the positive impact that language and culture can have on outcomes for students. We've broadened our supports at FEAN to support students and their success. We've added additional Aboriginal student achievement coordinator, increased counseling, and are thrilled to have an Indigenous counselor at the school, as well as some elder time, and a great increase in the number of self-declared staff working with students in the program. OSCIA continues to provide cultural and academic programming for students in our division. They often serve students who will not be represented in our data, but we do recognize how many students graduate with the support of their program. We're also proud to report that in many of our schools, the FNM graduation rate is very similar to that of their non-FNMI peers. Our intensive focus continues to be on the students and communities where the success has not been as strong. We have a number of Aboriginal student achievement coordinators focused on a caseload of about 30 FNMI students and supporting their academic achievement. We're seeing success in this program with the students we retain, but we do still struggle to retain as many as the students as we would want to. And that's a real focus of our work within our area of focus at this time, the students who are not present with us at that time. As was indicated earlier, we're strengthening the Miumit Siwan program at EDP and Catholic School, as well as extending the Cree bilingual program. And we look forward to that program taking students right to grade 12. We really want to keep working on that engagement and recognition of the positive impact of that language and culture. And we're going to continue to work with HR to increase our numbers of self-identified staff in GSCS, and in particular at the high school level. We presently have three schools in Following Their Voices program, and these schools are at various points on the journey, but in each there's a positive impact on the staff. Last year in our board roundtable discussions with students, we were all struck by one particular student who was mentioning how amazing it was for her to have teachers working on better understanding what they could do to make learning more relevant and responsive to our Indigenous students. Each of these schools has chosen to be involved and applied to be considered for the program. The ministry provides PD as well as some staffing to have facilitators in each school to support the staff on the journey. And the effects of this program we hope to be long-term. as you can see, thinking about what we've learned, we have a slight dip in our three-year graduation rate. Our three-year FNMI rate has increased, that our five-year rate has increased overall, and our five-year rate with our FNMI students has increased quite dramatically. I'd like to remind the board that each of these is a specific cohort of students, and so the data is a little bit movable depending on the group of students who are going through. But the larger the cohort, the stronger that data is, and the greater value it has. And our cohort of First Nations and Métis students is higher than it's been in the last number of years. So we're hopeful of that. We spoke about the additional resources that have been allocated to Indigenous cohorts at EDF, and we feel really good about the team that has been developed there and the work that they're doing. And I've spoken already about the use of credit recovery, about the positives that that has for our staff and for our students. And so at this point, I'd like to invite any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Superintendent Gay. Trustees, any questions or comments? I think it's always exciting to see when we have that capacity to be able to flush out all of the information. And then thank you, Scott, and your team for being able to do that and give us a good sense about all the good work that's happening. And also the explanations. You know, I think that it's such a good point about the 2,500 English as an additional language learners that are coming to our schools, and the support that they're receiving. For us to have these kind of numbers, I think, is very gratifying for the board to see as well.
It's also very positive that the majority of those students are still attaining graduation. It's just going to take a little bit longer of a period of time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're always lobbying that our ministry and government would recognize that five-year. You know, we speak about everybody's individual journey, and for us to be able to have the opportunity to have the programs that make our students successful, we see that the five-year graduation rate is a very important statistic.
Well, and I know I'm like a stuck record on this, but I just feel like to our public to be presenting the truth, which is that those students are graduating, and that they're being productive members of society, and that they're being successful and being able to move on to post-secondary as well. And so I do really value that rate. Of course, for some of our students, we need to encourage them to be finished within 3 years, because there's not a logical need for everyone to take longer. It's just the opportunity for those who need it to be able to access that support.
Great. All right, trustees, not seeing any other questions or concerns, that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Improving Student Learning and Achievement Monitoring Report graduation rates. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Elliott. Someone to second that motion? Thank you, Trustee Bibelot. I'll ask for the negative vote. Hearing none, that motion is carried. And again, thank you, Scott, and your team. We'll proceed now to 6.4, Celebrating and Promoting Catholic Identity Monitoring Report. Again, Superintendent Gay and Coordinator Darcy Leach.
Well, it's still me. Thank you, everyone, for the time today. We're really looking forward to being able to share some of what we've been up to in religious education with the board today. As was indicated, you're also going to hear from Coordinator Darcy Leach and myself, but we don't do this work alone, of course. And we'd like to thank Coordinator Lorianne Gabrook, who supports much of our Byzantine work, and our consultant Brian Boutin, supporting work in both English and in French. So today what we're going to be highlighting is some of the work to support the board priority by drawing attention to some of these key areas: staff formation, staff professional development, student learning and programming, student formation, teams, committees, as well as the partnerships. With respect to staff formation, we're committed to the ongoing development and delivery of staff retreats. Last year, 23 team-led retreats were scheduled to be delivered. 10 retreats were delivered before Christmas, 13 scheduled after Christmas, and we were only able to deliver 5 before our spring shutdown. We have resumed with the provision of staff retreats. However, the delivery model is quite different this year, as you can imagine. In order to adhere to COVID-19 protocols, school staffs can't pair up and receive their retreats together, which means that we have started to facilitate nearly double the number of retreats this year without a consequent increase in team availability. Therefore, our retreat team members are not facilitating in pairs this year and facilitating only for the morning before the team facilitator departs. Additional materials and instructions are provided, and staffs then self-facilitate their retreat for the remainder of the day. This year, 36 team facilitated retreats are scheduled, with 14 already delivered and 22 after Christmas if all goes well. And I would like to report that that's going very well, and that we're really proud of the leadership of the school staff and their commitment and their appreciation to the board for the opportunity to take part in these retreats. Moving to opening day, of course, we all know that it looked very different this year with staff gathering in the respective work locations. My apologies for that. The absence of that event was keenly felt, and we look forward to gathering again as an entire GSCS family. A great deal of our work for staff formation and enrichment is ongoing and consistent from year to year, as indicated in the report that has been submitted to you by our team. In a year such as this one, where we have been engaged much less often is in person, and noting particularly the restrictions that prevent many people from attending Mass, we're always looking for creative and simple ways to sustain one another and to feed our spirits. Formed.org is an online faith resource that can be described as a combination of a Catholic Netflix and a Catholic library. While a few parishes in our city have purchased access privileges for their congregation, not all have. In order to ensure that all of our staff having access to this excellent resource, we've purchased a subscription for all GSCS staff. As trustees, you're also invited to make use of this resource. We'd be happy to help you to sign up. We hope that uptake is swift and robust, and feedback so far has been very positive. As we look to the future, we may seek ways to extend the availability of this resource to our families as well. And at this point, I'm going to turn things over to Darcy.
Thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, everybody. Moving on to staff professional development. As indicated in your board packages, a number of initiatives are ongoing in terms of supporting the professional development of our staff with regard to faith-based formation and education. Job-embedded instructional support continues, particularly with respect to teachers who are new to the elementary religion program or who require support with a really rigorous Catholic studies curricula at the high school level. We're also adapting our work so that these can be accessed in both synchronous and asynchronous formats. Our religious education office is working at providing particularly focused support for our French teachers of Catholic studies in our high schools. It is extraordinarily difficult to find classroom resource materials and texts that meet the needs of the new Etudes Catholiques curricula. The fact that Quebec does not have publicly funded Catholic education means that Canadian textbooks of this nature in French are rare. South of the border, most textbooks of this nature that are offered in a second language are offered in Spanish. So our religious education consultant, Brian Boutin, and I, we both speak French. And so together we continue to seek resources that can be employed effectively in our classrooms. And we are blessed to have Brian making that a key part of his consultant work this year. Our division, furthermore, has committed to ongoing education for our staff. And right now we currently have 13 Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools teachers participating in the Master of Religious Education program through Newman Theological College. And we are even more pleased to say that we have had 37 GSCS staff who have completed their Master of Religious Education diploma since the division started sponsoring it in 2010. We are grateful for the support that our board provides, and we are enriched by the depths of knowledge that our teachers are bringing back to their colleagues and their students. As well, our division has committed to funding up to 8 staff members in the new Indigenous Pastoral and Lay Ministry program that has been developed and is jointly sponsored by Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools, St. Thomas More College, and the Roman Catholic Diocese of Saskatoon. The first of 4 courses is complete, and the second is scheduled to begin in January. And I can speak from personal experience. It is a very, very enlightening and enriching experience. The GSCS Understanding Your Faith program, which is one of the options that are available to teachers with new continuing contracts in lieu of university classes. This program is still being offered, and it continues to see group sizes well in excess of 100 people. Given our current circumstances with COVID and our restrictions on gathering sizes, significant adjustments are required in order to deliver this program effectively. Beginning this past September, we've been working on a substantial reconstruction of the program, and we look forward to sharing the new format with you in our next monitoring report. We are excited about the changes that are on their way. And under the umbrella of the Together in Faith and Action Committee, a tremendous resource on Catholic social teaching to support middle years teachers has been developed by Renee Craddy, one of our principals in our elementary schools, Rochelle Ng, who used to be the coordinator or the consultant for religious education, and Brian Boutin, our current consultant. This resource covers 7 key themes in Catholic social teaching, and each of these is treated in 4 facets: see, learn, pray, and act. In addition to supporting religious education, this resource supports our division's ongoing work with the Consentus Citizenship Education Program, and it also enables further permeation of our faith into all that we do and all that we are in our schools. As we turn to student learning and programming, we'll just highlight a couple of our many resources that are incorporated into instruction on a daily basis. The Elementary Religion Program, Growing in Faith, Growing in Christ, continues to be implemented on a year-by-year basis. Grade 6 was introduced this year and has been well received. And next year and the year following, we will continue our rollout and introduce Grade 7 and Grade 8. I had the opportunity to participate in the development of this program as a pre-publication subject specialist reviewer. And what is particularly helpful about this program right now is that this program is completely deliverable in an online format, and some of our schools have chosen to supplement this with print material. We are particularly grateful that this program was already in use in our schools when we shut down last spring, because this meant that there was no need to purchase new programming or to scramble to seek ways to retrofit old programming for digital delivery in order to support religious education ongoing as we were in shutdown. And it actually encouraged our families who had not previously engaged with the student and home portal to log in and work with the text and its enriched features, which we'll briefly show you later. The high school Catholic studies curricula have been fully implemented into all grades at the high school level, and as indicated, we're in the process of supporting Etudes Catholiques implementation and resource location. The SCSBA faith permeation documents that were developed to support English language arts, health, science, and social studies from K to 12 continue to be used and promoted in our division and throughout the province. Working with my counterparts from our sister school divisions across the province, we've reviewed and updated all of these resources this past spring in order to ensure that the content is still relevant, usable, and available. And we are currently working on additional permeation documents to further support our teachers in the province. And one thing we'd particularly like to highlight, HIV is a serious health issue in the province of Saskatchewan, and we recognize that education can play an important role in the prevention and spread of the disease. However, we also acknowledge that discussion of prevention measures can lead to topics and provision of advice, particularly from outside agencies, that run contrary to the teaching of the Catholic Church. Previously, lessons regarding HIV were taught within the context of religion classes, and our teachers were informed and expected to use a resource called the Catholic Educational Approach to HIV, which was adopted from Ontario, and it was approved for use in Saskatchewan by our bishops. However, since that time, HIV/AIDS education has migrated to health education, and learning outcomes regarding HIV/AIDS awareness and prevention appear in the provincial health curriculum in grade 2 and grades 4 to 9. However, the Catholic HIV resource that had been mandated for use in Saskatchewan schools was no longer of any practical use. Not only did the lessons not align with the curricular scope, sequence, and learning goals in the curriculum, but in fact, the scientific and factual information that appeared in there was outdated and in some cases actually incorrect. To this end, the Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association asked me and my counterpart in Regina, Miles Myers, to locate a resource that could be used to support HIV/AIDS education in a manner that was appropriate to Catholic schools. After an extensive search that covered all of North America, we determined that no such resource could be found to meet our needs. And in fact, it didn't exist one. Miles and I were therefore commissioned to create a new program for the province by SCSBA, and we completed our work this past year. In this new program, each grade specific learning outcome has been met with a mini unit of 2 to 3 lessons that are completely ready for use in the classroom. And they include Blackline Masters, multimedia content, object lessons, and they also include letters that go home to the family. One thing that we want to make particularly clear is that this program was not created by merely taking existing resources and by redacting problematic content. Rather, this resource was created with faith as a starting point. Christian anthropology is at the forefront of these lessons, as is the emphasis of human dignity, magisterial teaching, and the role of church, the Catholic Church in healthcare. We are pleased to inform you that this resource was granted final approval from the Catholic Bishops of Saskatchewan this fall, and now it's in use of all of the Catholic school divisions in the province. And GSCS policy has been updated to reflect this new resource and also indicates that this resource is to be used in our classrooms. As we move on, indicated in your board package, there are numerous initiatives that are ongoing as we foster the growth of our students and their faith and their response to their call to discipleship. There's a faith formation facilitator in every elementary school, and they take the lead in faith-based initiatives there. Each faith formation facilitator has the equivalent of 4 half days of substitute time to devote to their work of developing and promoting activities such as student retreats, preparing for liturgies, and acting as a key liaison between school and their local parish. Each of our high schools has a half-time lay chaplaincy position that supports similar initiatives, but often on a bigger scale than can be undertaken at the elementary level. And our teacher chaplains also support the development and delivery of our division-led staff retreats. Liturgies and prayer services are developed in the Religious Education Office throughout the year for various occasions and liturgical seasons. Among these are included weekly liturgies during Advent and Lent, as well as observances of feast days and other key days in the calendar year, such as Remembrance Day or Thanksgiving. We support ongoing efforts to support faith permeation in all aspects of our schools, not only in instruction, but also in environment, curriculum, and assessment. This includes the purchase of and the use of play-based and activity-based kits and workshops, such as child-sized brass math kits for early learning classrooms that kids can play with and touch and handle, and Pesenke kits and icon writing workshops for our older grades. Scott, this is you again.
In order to achieve some of the work that we've highlighted, as well as to direct some of our other activities, numerous teams and committees participate in advising and facilitating matters in our division. As projects are completed and new ones come up, committees and teams come and go, but we do have 3 standing ones that are engaged on an ongoing basis. The Religious Area of Education Focus Committee, which is comprised of the Superintendent for Religious Education, the Learning Services Coordinators for both the Byzantine and Latin Rites, the Religious Education Consultant, and a high school and elementary principal. This committee is working to attend to some specific goals to guide our work as represented in this report. The second one is the Together in Faith and Action Committee, formerly called the Distinctiveness of Catholic Education Committee, which is the only standing committee of the Board of Education. Currently, this committee consists of 2 trustees, the Director of Education, 2 superintendents, the Religious Education Services team, 2 principals, our priest chaplain, and as of this past spring, 2 representatives of our Indigenous community. This committee is active and pleased that Trustees Jelinski and Biblo will be leading us in this work with Director Chatelain to ensure that our Catholic identity is strong in the school division. And the third area is the Tragic Events Response Team, which consists of staff members of various positions in our division, which is led by Superintendent Van Gool and myself. Last year, we had to sadly respond to a number of events that require staff and student emotional and spiritual support, guidance, and companionship, as we consider it to be a very privileged and grace-filled position to accompany them as they navigate losses in their community. To this date, in this academic year, we have not yet been called as a team, and we pray that it remains that way. We're meeting this week to actually discuss how we might support if the need should arise, as we balance the personal care of staff and students with the many safety protocols due to COVID-19. And once again, within that particular team, we have office coordinator, we have school counselors, we have principals that are part of that team, and we're really proud of the efforts that they come to and their willingness to enter into this time that is really challenging for so many people. So we're thankful for that work that is being done. And finally, we're blessed to have so many partners in our community as we work together to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. To highlight only a few of them, we work to support our families not only in school, but also in their home environments and through their connections to groups such as our Catholic school community councils. Prior to last spring shutdown, we had arranged for David Wells, a well-known Catholic author and motivational speaker, to spend an evening with our Catholic school community councils, where he was going to discuss with them the topic of understanding and responding to the disaffection of the young people within the church. We continue to work in cooperation with St. Thomas More College. The campus ministry team connects often with our high school teacher chaplains and religious education office, and Darcy Lee currently represents GSCS on the advisory committees for the new Center for Faith, Reason, and Justice at the college. Director Shetland is a member of the STM Corporation as a subset of their board as well. Our relationship with Queen's House of Retreats and Renewal Center remains strong. However, we've had to limit our use of their facility this year due to COVID restrictions. We eagerly look forward to resuming their regular connect and mutual support, and particularly to having our staff retreats return there. We also have many other formal and informal partnerships with local organizations such as the Knights of Columbus, Friendship Inn, Chaz, etc. And most notably, our school division spearheaded the development of the Saskatoon Area Catholic Connections Network, which has gained momentum in the past year. The purpose of this network was to build working relationships among the many Catholic groups that serve our community, building understanding and facilitating communication among the participating agencies and organizations. This work grew out of the TFAC committee work. And as we work closely and often with the Eparchaean Diocese, not only in smaller operational aspects, but also on key projects and in committees such as development of the Indigenous Pastoral and Lay Ministry Program, the Diocesan Justice and Peace Advisory Council, and parish-based initiatives and connections such as live streaming of masses and divine liturgies and virtual pastoral visits. One of the ways in which we are able to partner actively with our parishes by sharing with them the elementary religion resources that we work with in our schools. In addition, a teacher portal and a home portal. There's also a parish portal that facilitates communication between the parish and the school about what is being taught in the religious education classes, and support their children's liturgy and sacramental preparation programming, and strengthens links between home, school, and parish. At this time, I'm going to invite Darcy to share her screen and give a brief overview of what the parish portal does and looks like.
Thank you, Scott. We're just going to take a brief look around so you can see what it is that we offer to our parishes and to our families through the religious education program that we've purchased for use in our division. As we look into the parish and home portal, if we go to the home screen, for example, this is actually the parish portal that we're looking at right here. And so this is a portal that allows our parishes to engage with this program as well. And so in it is all of the content that you will see in our schools, with the exception of the actual e-textbook itself. And so when we look at what's going on in here, if we click on This Week at Home, the parish and their youth support workers, their pastors can see that during this year, everything that we are doing aligns like so, and it shows us what's happening at home, what kind of family activities could be supported, scripture passages, and so on. And it's also worth noting that the units in this program are divided according to the liturgical year. The first unit is for ordinary time at the beginning of the year. The second is Advent and Christmas. Then we return to ordinary time for unit 3, Lent and Easter for unit 4, and then back to ordinary time once more for unit 5. As we look once more at the program content, what we can see is that the parishes have access to all of the videos, the songs, and the activities that are included in the program, and they are numerous. There are so very many of them. And so all the songs are able to be used, for example, in their children's liturgy programming. And there are also activities that they can enter into, which are, some of them are kind of fun. Actually, this one is not what I want. There we go. So if our parishes have access to computers, they can do little drag and drop activities. Sometimes they're popping bubbles and things like that. And so this gives our parishes an opportunity to see what's going on in our schools and how our home can support it. And one other thing that is particularly important to them is showing them the sacramental content. This is not designed to replace sacramental preparation at the parish level, but what it does do is show them how we can support sacramental preparation and education in our schools. I pulled up grade two because typically our grade two students are the ones who receive their first Eucharist and reconciliation. So as the parish can see what's going on in the student book, they can see how it's supported by our big books, by our posters. All of these videos, again, are present supporting the concept of Eucharist, and they can be used within their content, within their preparation programs. And there are songs and activities as well. The home portal for the families is virtually identical. The only thing that's different from that is that there is an e-text available on here, and it shows the student textbook with all of this content that I've just shown you directly embedded into it. So what we hope to do, we've been telling our parishes for quite some time that the resource is available, and we highly encourage them to use it. Our plan this year is to actually make time to visit our pastoral teams individually, if at all possible, whether virtually or in person, and show them once more what this program has to offer and to encourage them to use it. So I think that's all we need to point out about that one. Scott, would you like to finish up?
Yeah, I'd just like to, I guess before we do come to a close of our report, I just want to say a special thank you to Lorianne, Brian, and Darcy for the incredible work that they do within religious education services, but probably most importantly to the work of our schools where this is actualized with each and every one of our students. And we're really grateful for the commitment of our teachers and our administrators to bring this work forward and to really celebrate the gift we have in Catholic education. We know that that's nothing any of us can take for granted, and we're really proud of the work that's being done. So at this point, I'd open the floor for any questions, and that would be the end of our report.
Thank you, Scott and Darcy. Trustees, any comments or questions that you'd like to make at this point? Tim?
Yes, thank you, Diane. Scott and Darcy, this is one of the reports I really look forward to seeing every year. We got three monitoring reports today, and this one speaks, of course, to our Catholic identity. And I think it's timely. It's just, a few weeks after the election. It's good to reacquaint the returning trustees, but also to bring up to speed the new trustees on our board about the fantastic things that are going on in our school division to enrich our Catholicity. And you said it, Scott, it's not just, one or two people, it's the team of people. But I want to thank you, Darcy, and Brian, and the others on the team for your dedication and your leadership. This speaks so much to who we are as a Catholic division, what we do to enrich our Catholicity. And I would dare say, and I've said this before, and I've said it to the board, I said it publicly, I think we're the flagship in Saskatchewan, if not Canada, in terms of how we promote our Catholicity. I'm very proud of what you do, and I'm very grateful for what you do. And I would suggest this is such a neat report, if the board would consider, having a summary of this and sending it to both our bishops, just to bring them up to speed. In this time of pandemic, I think we all need some good news. But in closing, I want to thank you, Scott and Darcy, for a wonderful report and for all you do in terms of serving our Catholic school division. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim, for your sentiments. I'm sure you speak for all of us on the board for the good work that has been happening and continues to happen, and the wonderful outreach that occurs. And Darcy, I'm encouraged, by your comments made about bringing this to the pastoral teams within each of the parishes and sometimes walking beside them and holding their hand, I guess, in some ways, that they would see that what a good resources that are available through the school division. All right, trustees, Jim?
Yes, I just want to echo those thoughts too. This is what we're all about. Just to shift gears a little bit, a couple of questions came to me at election time, and I just want to make sure that we're still on track. Are we still keeping our eye on the ball with our taxation issues with the city and the default that defaults to the public? And two questions from people about taxes. You know, how do you shift taxes? How do I even know where my taxes are going? So we haven't talked about that for a long, long time. And I don't want to take away from the presentation because it was certainly tremendous. But are we actively keeping an eye on that?
Yeah, good question. Joel, did you want to chime in on that one for recent updates?
Sure. Thanks, Director Shallon. Trustee Carrier, we do from time to time communicate to our families about the opportunity to do so, but it's a good reminder and something that we could have our schools add to the newsletter again. It's more of an annual type of reminder and direct them to the website. Our website has been updated to have all the forms, so any families that are inquiring or have been directed there. As well as a newsletter, we will put an announcement in there and direct them to our website. We've went to each jurisdiction and got their appropriate forms for it. And we have a write-up on the website as well on what the process will be. So we are trying to connect as much as we can to our families and have them make those updates. And then with the city, we've been working with them as well to ensure that the annual tax statements that go out to our residents in Saskatoon, for example, has the correct information regarding the difference between the Catholic or separate and public boards and their ability to designate their taxes as well. So we've been doing on both of those. But it's a good reminder. It's something that we should probably have our schools send out again this year here in the next month or two.
So just that's good. I don't want to sound like we're a benevolent group looking for money, but when you talk about the city of Saskatoon, and if you're paying your taxes with your mortgage and that, you don't really get anything to what you spoke about. About taxes and how to move it or whatever.
Well, I guess there's a couple pieces there. I guess like one is we'll communicate directly to our families through school newsletters on if they're interested or if they haven't designated their taxes and they are of the Catholic faith. This is kind of the process, and it'd be more just a website link, and then ask them to go to our website, which will have that information on there. The tax statements, though, even if your bank does pay them on your behalf through your mortgage, you will still get a statement from the city of Saskatoon just setting what that amount is. And within that statement, it would speak to that the public board doesn't set the mill rate, but the separate board does. So that's at a high level, it would provide that overview. But you are correct. It wouldn't have in there if you want to designate your taxes to the separate board, please use this process. Our only mechanism of that so far that we've used is through the newsletters and our website.
Thanks, Joel. Yep. So we've got to be mindful of this. I think there's an opportunity there to, I just want to keep bringing it up because. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. All right, trustees, any other comments or questions? Seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Celebrating and Promoting Catholic Identity Monitoring Report. I'll need someone to move that motion.
I'll move that.
Thank you, Trustee Jelinski. Someone to second it. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. And Darcy and Scott and Lorianne and Brian and all of your team, I think Tim spoke so eloquently about the wonderful work that you're doing and continue to do to be an arm of our church and an arm for Catholic education at the highest level. So congratulations on a great report, and more importantly, God bless you for the good work that you're doing.
Thank you very much for your time, everybody.
Okay, trustees, let's proceed now to 6.5, the Transportation Monitoring Report, and CFO Lloyd will lead us in that conversation.
Thank you, Chair Boyko. So the Clinton Board Report is our quarterly report on transportation services. Probably the big change from year over year, obviously, with the pandemic is we have less students riding the buses. We have over 1,500 students online elementary school. And of course, Many of those students would have taken the bus if they were attending our physical school still, as well as some families are instead transporting their children to school. So we're seeing about 35% reduction in the amount of students that we have riding this year. Of about, it was a little over 4,400 students each day are registered and are transported. Overall, the number of routes we have is 153. That's about two less than we were within budget. We were able to combine some routes, but ensuring there's still enough space in the bus for as much distancing as we can, but also from an efficiency perspective, we're able to save some dollars there and redirect those savings to additional cleaning of the routes that we're doing. We again thank our boards that we work with in Humboldt with Horizon and with SunWest and Bigger, and of course Prairie Spirit around Saskatoon for transporting our students on their buses, and those arrangements are continuing to work well for our board, and of course save dollars for both school divisions as well. So we appreciate those arrangements. On with this as well, we also contract out a number of taxi routes, and that's been going as okay this year as well, with trying to arrange for that, ensuring proper provisions are in place. So overall, things are going as smoothly as we can, and we are now preparing for potential cold weather shutdowns because we think we have the pandemic thing as best as we can managing at this time. So that concludes the report. If there's any questions, Chair Boyko.
Thank you, Joel. Trustees, any questions or comments at this point? It's always amazing to think that, Joel, you spoke to 35% less, so at 4,452, that we're transporting students on a daily basis is larger than a lot of school divisions throughout Saskatchewan. So I always remind my counterparts in the rural divisions about that. So thank you for the good report.
Thank you.
All right, trustees, I'm not seeing any questions or comments. The recommendation that the Board of Education approve the transportation monitoring report as presented. I'll need someone to move that motion. Trustee Stoops, Trustee Carrier is seconding that motion. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you again, Joel. 6.6, technology infrastructure contract approval. Superintendent Basilak.
Thank you, Chair Boyko. As in the report, you can see that we went out for RFP for technology infrastructure, RFPs from different companies. As we continue to work to improve our infrastructure for service to the division and our students, you can see the details that are outlined within the term of the contract, which is a three-year with an option for a two-year agreement. That's what makes it a total of five at the end of the report. The RFP was sent out October 1st, 2020, and it closed on October 19th, at which time we had three proposals, companies who had returned their evaluations to us. Our committee of Jim Bennett, Catherine Holmes, and Laurie Langlois reviewed them, and through the evaluation process, as you can see, technology and management plan was 35% weighting, and cost was 65%. And in scoring that, Charter Communications scored the highest for the Cisco vendor of record with the RFP of overall score of 97.5 out of 100, which is a total of cost over 5 years of $300,000.
Thank you, Superintendent Basilak. Trustees, any questions or comments? It was very validating to see that the overall score of 97.5. That's very good. All right, seeing no questions or comments, thank you for this report, Superintendent Basilak. Trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education award the contract to Charter Communications as the Cisco vendor of record. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll need someone to second that motion. Thank you, Trustee Elliott. I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing none, that motion is carried. Thank you for the good work. All right, 6.7, St. Francis Cree Bilingual School Project Manager Contract Approval. I'm not sure who I'm supposed to ask.
Sorry about that. That's okay. Not in the package there. Superintendent Rivard needed to be on the local medical health officer call, so he needed to step off for that. CFO Lloyd, are you probably in the best position to speak to the contract then?
Sure, yeah, and I invite Superintendent Martel as well to add any content that he may have. But So as part of the requirement now for any capital project announced by the province of Saskatchewan, we are required to hire a project manager to support the project from design to post-occupancy and warranty and deficiencies as well. So as part of that process, SAS actually issued an RFSQ out for all 12 projects. They shortlisted initially, and then our internal team had the opportunity to review those proposals and selected Stéphane Laplante from Colliers Project Leaders as our project manager, and they have accepted that selection. So we've come to an agreement and now are asking the board to consider approving that contract, and he will begin his work with supporting our school division and Saskatoon Tribal Council and the Ministry of Education to complete this school in the next 3 years. The contract is with the Ministry of Education and obviously the partners that I mentioned earlier, and would be executed and out of the construction budget that was set out and approved by the Treasury Board and Cabinet last budget day. That concludes the report, and take any questions unless Superintendent Martel has anything to add.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Trustees, any questions at this point? All right, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the joint contract with Colliers Project Leaders for the services of project manager of the St. Francis Cree Bilingual School Construction Project. And I'll need someone to move that motion. Trustee Carrier, I'll need someone to second it. Trustee Beckler, I will call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. All right, thank you, gentlemen. We'll look forward to Stéphane working with your team. Now let's proceed to some of the correspondence. I just received a letter or a card of appreciation to everyone on the Board of Education and the division. A thank you for the beautiful flower arrangements and the holy sacrifice of Mass offered in our mother's name from Diane Verbock and Karen Nage and family. And that would be Alice's two daughters. So that was nice to hear from them. Nothing in the reading report and reading file, so we'll proceed right to 8.0, the report of the Director of Education. Director Shetland, what have you been doing?
Oh, a little of this and a little of that. just a couple of things to raise today. So the provincial education plan development is moving forward again. As you will recall, the sector plan ESSP was extended a year just because of the operational implications of the pandemic in our endeavor in the province. And so haven't been able to do the work to finalize and work through the development of the new provincial education plan. So that work is getting back underway and slowly moving our way forward in that. Again, just a reminder, the intent would be to be beginning the provincial education plan as the provincial strategic plan this fall 2021. The GSCS Christmas and thank you card, we've not been able to gather as a group as we all often have, whether that be the Knights of Columbus Carol Festival or the Noon Festival of Carols or schools, the pageants and such. And one way we thought of perhaps sharing a little bit of Christmas cheer and a bit of thank you and acknowledgement is with a little virtual concert / thank you card. And thanks to the generosity of the GSCS Foundation, we were able to put together last Saturday a brief concert featuring three artists, Graham Dick from Delisle and his former EA with our division, Teresa Sikirka, who you may remember on Canadian Idol, that was back in the early days of that, and then continued on as her own singer-songwriter. She was a former student of St. Maria Goretti, Ukrainian Bilingual School, and then Holy Cross. And of course, Brad Johnner and the Johnner Boys, and the Johnner Boys were all students of the division, both through St. Matthew and Holy Cross. So the taping and recording was done last Saturday. I think most of the work is done putting it all together now, and the link and such will be available for sharing out to our families and our staff. There is a introductory comments from our chair and from myself specific to our staff, and that will be a separate link. And then thought we may as well bring some greetings to our families and invite our families to enjoy the show as well. And again, a bit of a Christmas card, thank you card for our families and our communities. So thanks to our coordinator, Darcy Leach, who also works in the fine arts areas, and so she was instrumental in getting this going, as well as Superintendents Gay and Shercliffe for their leadership in bringing this little project to fruition. Something fun to do at this time rather than just COVID. Our new trustee orientation sessions are going well, and again, continue that work. Our St. Marie Goretti Community School Métis flag raising ceremony was on December 10th, and for those who were able to join, that was a really interesting way to do it via Teams, and they had really thought through the logistics very well and prepared like crazy, and actually it went off very well. I was yeah. Totally impressed. I didn't know how it was going to go, but they did a wonderful job. I had all their videos kind of ready to go, and you just go in and bring up that video at that time, and then they were kind of emceeing things as they went, and everything was done remotely via Teams, and even the external dignitaries were there and folks. So they did a really remarkable job, and I think it kind of sets the pathway a bit forward, because all of our schools are involved in Métis, our flag raising or treaty medal installations and such. So there is still ways to celebrate and gather despite the limitations that are there, but they really did a remarkable job in preparation and execution. So special thanks to Principal Totos and all of the staff, as well as our consultant, our program leader in Samson Lamontagne, in supporting the community in their work. Our Christmas hamper project, again, lots of changes to everything this year, but as we had discussed prior, looking at a way to support our families with gift cards and such. Just to report to the board that we've been able to follow up with your direction around using or reprioritizing some of the board professional development dollars to support the hamper process that's underway, and very appreciated by the communities. We'll bring a report back specifically with how that was able to help in the new year. So I think those were the points I needed to make today, but if there's any other questions or comments.
Okay, thank you, Director Shetland. Though I did want to circle back to the new trustee orientation session, and I think we should be asking trustees Elliott and Biplo and Case how you're doing.
Sorry,
the orientation sessions. But I would agree. I've had the opportunity to sit in on a couple of them, or at least for portions of it. So I know that our new trustees will ask any questions that they need to, and I hope they all feel comfortable knowing that everybody's there to answer any of those questions. So that is great. All right, trustees, any board linkage or activity at this point to report? Our convention reports. We'll go right into committee reports. So the Joint Operations Committee, Trustee Burscheid and Stoops, what can you tell us?
We met here. There was Wayne, Greg, myself, and Joel met in the boardroom and the restaurant Humboldt, and that was on December the 1st. The election of the chairperson, Linda Maddock from Horizon, is the chairperson for this year, and I am the vice chair. We discussed facility planning. They did an HEI budget overview with Greg. Our staffing report is consistent with other years. We've got 356 kids and bums in seats as of November the 27th. The 28 are also transitioned to online, and two of the grade 9 are learning from at home. They're doing homeschooling at this point. And Corey Popoff gave the learning improvement plan report, and that was about it.
Okay, thank you, Trustee Burscheid. Trustee Stoops, anything to add to that?
Nope, well done, Trustee Burscheid.
All right. Together in Faith and Action, Trustees Jelinski and Biblo.
Nothing to report right now, except that we're going to be meeting sometime in the new year.
Okay, thank you. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, Trustees Zakreski, Rebecca, and Elliott.
The only thing that we have to report is that the Catholic Foundation has agreed to sponsor the Christmas video, and that was already mentioned.
Okay, excellent. The Mamal Kamatwin partnership with the Saskatoon Tribal Council. At this point, we have a meeting scheduled for this week, and so there will be a report that will come after that. The Comfy and GSCS Educational Alliance, nothing at this point to report. Just again, congratulations to everyone working on that alliance, and the good feature that was done with St. Michael's and the Métis Program of Excellence that was there, winning the Saskatchewan School Boards Association Premier's Award. So congratulations to everyone involved in that capacity. The Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association. Trustee Jelinski, anything to report?
Nothing at this time.
All right. And then the SSBA at this point, nothing to report there as well. Thank you to everyone who put their name forward to lead any of these committees. The good job you do with the liaison is much appreciated by the board as a whole. So thank you very much for that. Well, trustees, I think that that brings this meeting to an end. I'll ask Trustee Bigelow if he can lead us in a closing prayer.
Thank you, Chair Boyko. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord, we thank you again for your guidance. Give us the strength to continue to live out our vocations in these roles where we are, while helping us grow together in one common mission for your kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Hudson. Well, trustees and exec council, we wish all of you a wonderful Christmas season. We look forward to the birth of Jesus Christ on whichever calendar you celebrate. And we will hope that you have a chance to find some peace, not only in your heart, but also physically and mentally, that you have a chance to rejuvenate during this important time in our church calendar and in all of our lives. So God bless all of you through this Christmas season, and we'll look forward to seeing you in January. I'll ask someone to adjourn the meeting. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. Do I have to ask if everyone's in favor?
No.
I don't think I do. So thank you, everyone. God bless.